apprehending, which would be no fault of theirs if they did not, what I believe to be in this hour. So we're speaking on the 20th century reflection, and we're using first century word in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, 1-18, and 2 Corinthians 4, 1-7. That's a lot of reading. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. You know, that's a tremendous statement. This fellow says, here, look, I'm not sufficient, but I got a God who is. Many people are only too happy to say, I am not sufficient, and then put God in the same category. It's not fair. It's not right. It's not fair. I like Paul, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter. But of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so much that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be more glorious? That word rather means simply greater by far. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious hath no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. Now, if you wonder what the ministration of righteousness is that exceeds, you don't have to actually go very far in your Bible. So you've got a Scofield. You look at the right-hand corner of the next page, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, a sin offering for us, and you know sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the great glory, to be reborn. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. In other words, don't try to compare them. Don't ever get mixed up with the law. Don't ever get into legalism. You hear me strike these things, and I know some of you kind of cringe. Look, I'm not here to clobber you. I'm not here to clobber anybody. God knows I am too broken up and too near the end of the trail. I'm not interested. I'm trying to declare my soul and get rid of anything within me, set myself free, so that I don't have any responsibility for anybody. That's all I'm trying to do. Paul sets it out here. There is no way the law has any hope for anybody, anything that you will ever do. Anything you will ever think, anything you will ever try will do you no good. It just doesn't have it. Whatever it did have, it had, it lost. In the excellence of what is here, seeing then we have such hope. Now, see, this kills people. It should make you scream and rejoice with Paul. What a tremendous hope. What a tremendous hope to have it taken out of our hands. I keep preaching. I've done it for years, and this is my only mainstay in this message. He's here to do it. Then let him do it. I can't yell at you and make you let him do it. There isn't anybody can. For and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. The Scripture says they could not stand to gaze upon him. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. No way can they ever see this glory. Because the veil of legalism is over them. Say, look, let me tell you something. If washing of pots and pans and a blood sacrifice identified under your hand of a small animal could get you off the hook, and like David, you were an adulterer and a murderer, and it got you off the hook, looking forward. How much are you off the hook tonight if it's been accomplished? See, we can't deal in any word that God ever said anybody was to do. It's only believe. Faith is your substance. The substanting of any expectation God may put in your heart, of any deep calling to a deep, it's got to be faith. And we're not going to mix up anything either about faith produces works. Naturally, if you're born again, you've made a change. We're not getting mixed up in any of these things. Keep the issues clear. But even on this day when Moses read the veils upon the heart, nevertheless, when it should be taken, turn to the Lord, the veil should be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now there's a difference between strictly word and spirit. But we all with open faces, unveiled, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, very few people can ever say that. This man was vindicated. But if our gospel is hid, it's got to be hid to them that are lost. It's never hidden to the believer, to the seed. It's never. Now, in whom the God of this world has blinded. Now, notice, in whom the gods of this world, God of this world, tells where that spirit is. It's in those people. They're blind, and they're religious, too. Their minds are blinded, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, God left that man weak enough to know that if anything was ever done, he never did it. I won so many souls to Christ. Hogwash, you did. One sowed, another watered. God gave the increase. See? Where is boasting? It's excluded. Now, I'm going to read the preface to this, which is the second chapter, beginning at verse 14. And about four verses. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, making and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Now, you might not be familiar with this passage as to what it actually means. I wouldn't either, except for the late Dr. Ironside, who, preaching some famous sermons on the book of Romans, brings this to our attention that Paul is likening himself to a great general. Now, notice he says, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. He said, look, I'm never defeated. I am a general, and I am coming forth riding upon my white horse, and before me there are slaves that I have taken in my conquest, and they will be set free. And behind me are slaves taken in my conquest, and they will die. You get the picture. Paul, a man standing, who knows what he preaches because it's the unadulterated word. When he gets up there and preaches that word as our own prophet did, and men anointed of God, there are no ifs, ands, or buts. It is triumphant. And there will be those who receive and go on to liberty, and there will be those who die in their sins. Now, Paul is telling these things here in this next chapter. This ministry. And he's preaching in such a way as he must preach, because the New Testament has no precedence in mythology. The precedence is in the Old Testament of law. Moses. Never mind the other prophets, because they spoke grace. Moses did not speak grace in the complete sense of a perfect description. He preached it in symbols and signs, which were carried out. As the dove dying, the heifer dying, the bullock dying, the ram dying, the sacrifices, washing of water, pots and pans, all those signified something. So Paul is using a precedent here because he cannot go to mythology. I was surprised to find that the early Christian fathers went to mythology. They talked about the phoenix bird, which is supposed to be born in Egypt and goes into Asia Minor, lives his life and dies. Or rather, just before he dies, he goes back to Egypt. And there he dies in his nest and rots. And there's a worm inside, eats him, and then the worm grows up and puts on feathers and comes back to Asia Minor. And they said, that's a picture of the resurrection. You notice that the apostles didn't goof like that. Paul went to the precedent, to the Old Testament here. And he's talking about Moses. And you notice it's always a comparison to Moses. As in the book of Revelation, they sang the song unto Moses and the Lamb. Now, let's read again here. I'm not going to read all the verses, but say start with verse 6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. Always triumphing it. People wonder concerning Brother Branham. Was he fake? Was he real? Was he a failure? Was he a success? He was real and he was a success. We're not in some limbo here, as some people want to think. Now, able ministers, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills. Spirit is what gives life, but the ministration of death written and graven in stones was glorious, because thou shalt not, and everybody did it. So it condemned them. Now, so the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be greater? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness, which is the rebirth, be something unparalleled. Certainly, because you become the righteousness of God through God himself. For even that which was made glorious hath no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. That's exactly this message. When this message came on the scene, there wasn't any other message. Then don't bring your hogwash from other religions into this message. I'd sooner have a Roman Catholic born into this message almost than anybody. Or a heathen. Because when you come out of Pentecost the way I did, you've got to somehow get down in here and divest yourself and purge yourself. That goes for every Baptist. Amen. I won't mention it anymore unless you get mad at me. But who cares? If you like, beam again. I'm going someplace. I'm not staying here. You're looking at a man that talks as though he knows things. I don't know much, but I know a few things. No man will ever take what God gave me. I'm not a yo-yo on a string either for anybody. Don't ever get that in your minds. We got you guessing, guess on. In other words, it doesn't matter when anybody says, I'll preach this message and go to heaven, believing it, or go to hell, because I believe wrong. Look at it. There is no glory that remains. You think there will be? The shaking coming on this earth when every church is ripped from its foundations and every organization burns. The glory of man that brought only what perversion? Man never solved a problem. Man can only create problems. I didn't make that up. Somebody else made it. I don't know who said it. We sure right, though. Say, we got plainness of speech. I said, look, not as Moses. They put a veil over Moses' face. Sure. Because he couldn't look steadfast. He couldn't gaze. To the end, it was abolished. The veil never came off until it was all over. There's another ending in here, however, which I don't know that I know that much Greek to say it's true, but it's suggested to me by scholars that they couldn't stand the thought that that glory would fade. So they put a veil over his face, that when the glory did fade, they didn't even know it. I don't have that kind of religion tonight, brother, sister. I never got that from William Branham. I didn't get that kind of stuff. Yep. This doesn't fade. No. It doesn't lose its glow, its warmth. Now listen. Read further. But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. It's not on Moses' face anymore, it's on our heart. Nevertheless, when it's the turn of the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We all with open face beholding the glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed to the same image and glory to glory. All right, number to 12th verse. Seeing then we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, is a corner or pivot post. It says, from what you know about Moses, the law and his veil, there is a great lesson I'm going to teach you, and it will be a favor unto life or death, which way you take it. That's what he tells him. He said, you can take this and die, or not die. You can turn it down and die. Now he said, the lesson lies in looking at the veil over Moses' face. Now we're going to go back to Exodus chapter 34. 28 to 35. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. That number 40 is very important. He neither ate bread nor drank water. That's humanly impossible. The bread, yes, but the water, no. You got to have water. He wrote upon the tables the words of the commandment that came to pass when Moses came down the Mount Sinai, the two tables of testimony in Moses' hands. When he came down the Mount, that Moses did not know the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. Then you say it doesn't rub off. That does rub off. If you're rubbing against the right one. The originator. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. And after all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them commandment of the name in the, all that the Lord had spoken in Mount Sinai. And until Moses had done speaking with him, he put a veil on his face. And when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off. Till he came out. He came out saying, the children of Israel which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, skin Moses' face shone, and Moses put a veil upon his face again until he went to speak with him. Alright. Moses went into the light, and the light went into Moses. For his brother Branham said he went into the pillar of fire, and the pillar of fire went into him, but that wasn't all. The light that Moses went into struck the face of Moses, illuminating it. The light struck the face of Moses and bounced off, causing the face to glow. Because that's what reflection is all about, a light hitting it. The people could not see the pillar of fire, its light, apart from Moses. The light that struck Moses' face, the light struck Moses' face and the light bounced back, so his face glowed and the people saw it. It scared them so, Moses put a veil on his face. Now, the Logos was veiled in Moses, and Moses was veiled to the people. He was God to them, but he was only one of them, so they couldn't take it. They couldn't take it. Even Miriam couldn't stand him. See, that word was veiled in him, and they couldn't take it. While he gave the word to them, the veil was over his head. Once he left them to go back again for the word afresh, he took the veil off. The same thing happened over and over again. Now, please watch something here. Back in Exodus, that 34th chapter, and 29 to 35, which we read. You see, it is Moses with the veil over his face. Exactly right. Over here in 2 Corinthians 3 and 13. And not as Moses which had a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end that was abolished. Now, there again you see Moses with the veil over his face. But in verse, that was 12 that he did read, 13, yeah. Now, going a little further to the 14th verse, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away, and the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Now, in verse 14, it's the Israelites with the veils on their heart and mind. Now listen, what is the difference whether you put a gunny sack over Moses' head or you put a gunny sack over your own head? You won't see the light. You won't receive the light because blind is blind, no matter how the blinding is done. So you see, it doesn't matter. Moses could put a veil over his face, which he had to. At that time, because the people could not understand, they did not want it. They couldn't receive him as one amongst them. See? And that is one of the keys that Brother Branham kept forcing at us and showing us. The prophet, Lord your God, raise up of your brethren like unto me. A one amongst the brethren is never, ever taken to. A prophet is without honor, is not without honor, save in his own country. They couldn't stand the fact of God using a man. Israel could not stand the fact back there that he was just one of them. Who is this anyway? Miriam said, well, I changed his diapers. I'm the one that put him in the river there. I'm the one that got him to Pharaoh's daughter. I'm the one that got his mother to nurse him. I'm the one that did it all. And she prophesied and danced and banged on her tambourine, clanged up and down the Red Sea. And she had a great time, and God gave her leprosy for all her trouble. Because he spoke against the Lord's anointed. But they couldn't see it because he was a man. They couldn't see Jesus because he was a man. And they couldn't see William Branham because he's a man. And they won't see you and me because we're a man. And all men speak except Jesus. Because he wasn't that kind of a man. He was not born of sexual desire. Neither was he simply created with Adam and Eve. He was a special product of the Logos becoming flesh. For he reduced himself. God literally. Instead of using a light or taking an angelic body, literally caused himself to reduce that manifestation that he wanted into a sperm and an egg and let the chemical factory of a woman's body bring forth him in the likeness of sinful man, but he wasn't a sinful man. He never had our full nature, no way. Blind is blind, no matter how the blinding is done. In verse 15, it says it's going on right at this very hour. In verse 16, it says, nevertheless, let the heart cry out for light. Cry out for the need for a light. And turn to God, as when under Moses, when they knew what they had wasn't working and needed God as never before. See, down there they knew what they had wasn't working. But when God sent Moses, they still didn't believe it would work. Now Moses vindicated, they still didn't believe it. Moses full of the word, they still didn't believe it. But years down the road, they said, we sure believe them, but they don't. Never did. Right to this day, the veil's upon their mind, upon their heart. Then the veil will fall off when they begin to turn to the true word, but that time is not yet. Let's keep moving, 17 and 18. We'll put it together shortly. Now the Spirit of the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled faces, open face beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, you notice in there, it says here, now the Lord is that Spirit. And it just tells you, plump and plain, God is the Spirit, there is one God. And we've been made free. There is no veil on God. God has come in plain view. There is no veil on us. And tonight we are about to be manifested. God has come into plain view. The prophet said so. And we are about to be manifested as sons of God and therefore come into plain view when manifestation in its fullness comes in the resurrection. And this is that hour for it. There are no creeds and no dogmas. What we have before us is pure God, pure Logos, pure Word, pure everything in purity. Now, they had what we're talking about here in the Ephesian church. In the first age, which as Brother Branham correctly said, for Paul delineates upon it through all the scriptures here, that they're looking for a resurrection and a rapture, but it couldn't take place because the bride wasn't in. Now, at that time, 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verse 4 sets in, where you understand what happened, she lost her virginity. But in the evening time, it shall be light. And the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings.
Now it tells you who's going to do the healing. That's the healing of the breach between God and man. It's going to be healed at the last time, and it's going to come at the evening time when it shall be light. So therefore God will rise with healing upon His people with light. Now we talked about Moses. The light was there, and Moses went into the light, and the light went into Moses, and Moses' face came forth with light. And they could not stand to look upon it. Now in verse 18 it says we're looking in a mirror. Now, Israel looked at Moses. Now watch. As the light from Moses' face struck Israel, they turned and ran and would not look back at Moses. Now that's exactly what happened. Had they gazed at Moses, the same light that Moses reflected would have struck them and reflected back and struck Moses until the Logos and the prophet and Israel was all one great scintillating, reflecting light. Now tell me I'm wrong. You're wrong. All they had to do is watch. And light will strike any object. And when it strikes, it bounces. And the same light from Moses' face, had they stood there, would have begun to strike the people. And the same light would have gone to the same source, making God and the prophet and Israel one tremendous spiritually enlightened people. For the enlightenment was of God. And they'd have walked in the knowledge and the glory of God. And they turned it down. That's what we're looking at tonight. The Father, the Logos, and the people one. All in the light as He is in the light. What fellowship? They turned down. You wonder why there's not much fellowship? There never will be. Until the bride's all in. Whatever depth of illumination is requisite, then will that sweet spirit come into the church. And you'll have fellowship one with another. Right now, the desire is to fight and itch to fight. The light is not striking back and forth. For the light from the Logos on Moses would have struck everybody in the congregation, that light striking back and forth. They'd have been walking in the light and having fellowship. That was under Moses. Nothing compared to this hour, my brother, my sister. Now listen carefully. Stand before a mirror at night. Switch off every light in your room. You are there. The mirror is there, but there is nothing there to be seen. No light means no reflection. I don't care if you have a mirror to look into. No light, no reflection. Now watch carefully again. Turn on the light, but turn on a light that does not ray or shine itself upon you. Let me turn on a light in a room. I've been doing this all week. I know what I'm talking about. Because I got to do my exercises. And in that hall, there is a light. And I turn it on. And several feet down in the room, there is a mirror. And I know what I'm talking about. It's just exactly what you studied in school in physics. Minor physics, of course. The light must shine on you before there is an image in the mirror. I see the mirror, but no light is shining on me, so I still can't behold anything. Turn the light on me, the light hits me, hits the mirror, and I'm beholding an image. Now, the light in my hall is right about here in the hall, and the mirror is down where Daniel is. And I can stand right here, and that light hits me, and in that mirror I see my image very clearly. I pass that light into the darkened room, my image is blurred. Because the light is so diffused, There is not a proper image. Now that's physics. You know that as well as I do. So turn on the light that hits me. Hits the mirror and I behold an image. All right. The mirror is the Word. You stand there to get that Word reflect you. You want your image in the Word. You want to see yourself in the Word because that's what you've been taught and you've been taught right.
Because this is God's Word. If you're not in there, somehow, forget it.
Amen.
See? All right. But if the light of revelation does not strike you, you won't ever show in that Word. You aren't there. Why? If He is Word, we will have to be, or we never were in Him. Now, let's keep that in mind as we go further down the road, because I'm not finished by a long shot. But if it is a true spiritual revelation that strikes you, no creeds, no dogmas, no misplacing, no misinterpretings, no veils, you will see Christ's form in that Word. We'll get something very startling after you. You will see Christ's form in that Word before your very eyes, and the light that God reflected off you striking that Word, and that makes you and the Word and God all one. Now you don't believe that. You see, here's where I stand, and I've been trying to preach all these years, these last 2 years to you. I'm clearing my record tonight. Let's get this flat. What I have said, I will stand with. When the true revelation hits any individual, and you're beholding in that Word, that true revelation that comes off of you into the Word, you and the Word and God are all one. More one than you think, because I'm not through preaching. That makes you, with that reflected Word off you, into the image of Christ. For the image of Christ is what comes back. You hear this, eh? How you're... Never mind. Read it again. But we all with unveiled face beholding as in a glass. I'm standing before the Word. Unveiled, the Word unveiled. Spiritual revelation, it is a mirror. What you hold up to it is reflected back. Now, don't get any crazy ideas. Just go back to your physics class. With open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You stand there. The book, seven seals have been opened. The light strikes you. A definitive revelation with God unveiled and you unveiled. Remember the prophet handling that sword rent the veil from top to bottom, and the Holy Spirit is loose for the first time in 2,000 years, and the light strikes. And what image comes back? Your image does not come back. If mine came back, I would blow my brains out. I would leave this church tonight and I would guarantee I would commit suicide. I'm going to tell you something. His image comes back, not mine. You see what I'm preaching? I'm trying to get across to you all this time for two solid years now. Do you understand what I'm saying? I hope you do. I hope you do. I cannot make you understand. You cannot make yourself understand. There is no way, my brother and my sister. If you're in the beginning with Him, you understand what I am saying. An eaglet screaming or hearing a scream. It is there. It never comes to a chicken. I'm not saying anybody here is a chicken. I'm illustrating. You stand there, and what image comes back? If yours comes back,
They say, well, Brother Bill, you mean to tell me then I'm so like Christ? I never said that. I'm talking of the glory which excelleth. Something that God did. And in spite of you when the light strikes. Hear me here. That's how God sees you. And by faith you see yourself. You're under the thraldom of sin like everybody else. I've got time to preach that sermon and maybe another time. Don't think I don't have my troubles. Don't think I don't sweat day and night because I put myself in many a trap that no one has to trap me into. I simply trap myself. Carelessness. Stupidity. Wantonness. Cupidity. Everything in the human race. I find myself under a thraldom. And I find the law that condemns. But I stand under the reflected light of the Shekinah glory itself that shone over the Holy of Holies. That was over the Ark of the Covenant where Aaron's rod budded and the scroll was kept and the manna. Miracle vindication, living daily food, life eternal, and the Shekinah light was shining upon it. There, because of the blood, we can enter in through the blood of Jesus Christ with the Shekinah light shining today. That reflecting off of us, brother, sister, goes right back to this word, and what comes out? Christ. Made in His image. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. You're just waiting now for redemption of your body because you've been sealed in by the Holy Ghost, and everything which was in Christ as an attribute is now in you. See? Now Paul said he had that ministry. Man come by like Brother Brown and say, I got a ministry. He said, those seven seals open, give you a bride, everything to put in her rapture, and then stand back and say, well, it better be this, it better be that. Listen, why don't you just shut up? I've got more vindication than all you put together here. I've got nothing. Stand beside William Branham, I look like worse than an idiot. Like an unhatched chicken in an egg that's rotten. A long sigh of an eagle that raises up over the wind a mile high and screams in the air. Now, if you think you've got something to touch me, meet me after church and tell me what you've had in your life. I'm not afraid. I'll match you dollar per dollar in the things of Almighty God and come out not a million, but many miles ahead of you all put together. I'm not lying to you. I'm not bluffing. I'm not boasting. I'm not bluffing. I'm just trying to make a simple statement and get it across to you. There's nobody here that can produce an image of Christ outside of Christ. See? Substitution. Identification. Paul said, I got this ministry. All right, look. One, the Logos came to Paul with the revelation. In 2 Corinthians 2:14 to 17, he said, certainly some will get it and some won't get it. The light that struck Paul struck them, and they saw themselves in the revealed word, and God answered back. So they were manifested word, written epistle. A transformation sets in. Now the transformation is in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, 1 to 7. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. That's a responsibility. Someone come on the scene and say, hey, I want to tell you something. I'm riding forth as a great general. And in my ministry, this ministry, there are those who get set free and those who are condemned to eternal destruction. William Branham comes by and he said, I want to tell you, everyone that believes this message is going to make it. The rest of them are going to go to the lake of fire. Not the lake of fire, but they get destroyed. Because that's what the scripture distinctly says. Cosmos will be annihilated. I don't care what the fundamentalist says. I'm not interested in his hogwash. Prophet came by and gave us the vindicated truth. It's something for a man to say that. The bride's got everything to put in her rapture. You know a lot of people don't believe that. They don't believe that the seals did it. What did you do about those seals? But listen. Why don't you write a book? Huh? What would you like to do to justify yourself, to make yourself honorable? How would you like to get changed? Well, change yourself. That'll keep your stature. I'm rough tonight. I purpose to be rough. I make no apology. I'll make no apology. And I'll not be forced into an apology. Not by anybody. Tell me. What did you do to bring yourself here on earth? You'll do the same thing to become immortal. It was done for you. Now, you weren't happy what was done for you any more than I by being here, but you will be. For my people shall never be ashamed. Okay. People look at us and they say, they can't, oh, that bunch there? Brother Branham kept telling us, that bunch there? That bunch, yes. Those who have the nerve. What was that word he used? Not temerity. I'll think of it later on. I use the word gall maybe too. I'll get it later on. Signifies courage, but he had his own word for it. Stand up and say, yeah. I stood in the light. And the light struck. When I went to the word, what did you see? So I saw Christ. Whose image was it? Christ? No, it was yours. Look in my eyes tonight and come close to me. Look so close you can see a reflection in my eyes. Whose reflection do you see in my eyes? Your own. Look in this word. What comes into your eyes? Christ. Reflection. Transformation sits in. Why? Because it was the truth. If our gospel is hid, it's hid to the lost. The God of this world has blinded them. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, Lord. Ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. That, if that's in there and it hits a mirror, that's what comes back. Well, doesn't it? You see why I strike legalism? Legalism has do's and don'ts. Let's do this, let's do that. I told you years ago I was a kid preacher. My handwriting was beautiful. In those days I practiced 50 minutes a day. I wrote a very good pal of mine. His name was Jay Killen. His landlady saw it and she said, hey, your girlfriend wrote you a letter. He said, no, that ain't no girlfriend, that's a boy. Well, she said, no boy can write that pretty. If you practice 15 minutes a day like I did, you can write beautifully. Now, I can't read my own writing. But even though I wrote very well, I knew when I bought a typewriter and typed my sermons. Marvelous. Legalism. I'm not saying there's certain things that we should shun do in the sense as though, hey, we must not do anything. I'm not saying there aren't certain measures of grace, such as prayer, meditation, fasting once in a while. No more than 3 days at a crack unless God really leads you. Certain things people can do. But I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. You'll never do a thing about this. See, it's either going to be done for, it's not going to be done. A transformation sets in. Now, it could have been a resurrection and a rapture in the day Paul said this, but it wasn't time. All right, come back to the 20th century. The Logos in Revelation shined on our prophet. The same light that struck the prophet struck us as it shined from him. Where did you get your revelation if not from a prophet? What I can say about him, because it's just talk. But to be with him and see, what a difference. But you know what made him that way? Every time when he stood there, I never could understand until in this hour that every time Brother Branham stood there and he said, well, ask him to come and see here, I never saw the pillar of fire hanging there, but he did. And suddenly a hush came on the building and you wanted to cry. What made you want to weep? Logos. That light. Every time he began, I couldn't help but cry. There's no way I could stop myself. Sanctified, hallowed presence of Almighty God. I'm going to tell you something. We were identified with that one. Amen. Same God, that light that reflected off of him hit us and reflected right to the Word, even Christ, and we saw we were part of the same revelation. Yep. The same revelation of the prophet who had the revelation of God. The same Word that came to the prophet shone on us. That makes God and the prophet and the children all one. You are the children of the prophet. He said, you are my kids. That makes them all one. Children of light. And in them can be no darkness at all. I told you years ago, I was 22 years of age preaching. I was outside in a town, little house out of town, on the front lawn. I bemoaned, as you bemoan, and we still bemoan our carnality, our utter disgust for ourselves, unless we're fools and idiots. Our knowledge in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. And I told you how I was telling God what a mess I was, and the voice said, call that not common or unclean which God hath cleansed. And I very sweetly answered back to God, I said, thank you, Lord, that's very lovely of you, but you see, I know myself. Took 45 years to get it back. To stand here and say, yes, I know that I'm not afraid in his presence. I have no feeling of guilt. When it comes to the Logos, when it comes to him, sure, I'm guilty about myself. I know my mistakes, my fails, my foibles, everything else, same as you know yours. But I want to tell you something, brother, sister, there's got to come a day, because it is that day, as it was in Moses' day, as it was in Paul's day, as it is today, God doing everything in trees, you'll notice. That we've got to be one with that one who came to the one who came to us. Now that's not a conundrum. That's simply the fact that we are one with God who came to the prophet. Because it's the same Word. That makes it all of Christ, as Brother Branham said. That makes us the bride and the Father one, even as the Father and Son are one. That it makes it, as Jesus said in John 17, 21, 23, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, thou and me, and all in each other. As when Moses stood there, and they could have stood, until the light began growing and reflecting back and forth in the complete glory of God, passing from the vertical to the horizontal, until there was one ball of fire, as it were, in the glory of Almighty God, passing over into a kingdom. They turned it down. That makes this our day, the completed circle of reality, that the Logos was in God, and we were in that Logos, and we are now all manifested. Well, was Moses manifested? They could have been, if they'd have just said, Moses, something's going on here. Keep that light shining. Yeah, even a guy as stupid as I am can get in the pulpit and say, when I'm through preaching, there are three things, one of which will happen to all of you sitting here. You'll rejoice and say, praise God, I believe him. I'm going to have the same thing. Or you'll squint your eyes and say, why hasn't happened to me? You'll get scared. And the third one will say, who does he think he is anyway? I'm not outside the Word, my brother and my sister, to preach this way. I'm not outside the Word at all. I am preaching the Word. And I'm preaching for one reason, to get you to understand what I am talking about. That I need no further explanation. That neither I need to explain or someone to explain for me. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? Is this coming across? Do you understand? Or shall I get him here up here so you'll understand the more? You're not stupid here. You are not little babies anymore. I'm talking to adults here, engineers and trained people, men of intelligence. Get him here. Look at it. Turn the light out. And turn a light on in the corner and see how good you do. You get a flashlight. Turn a spotlight and turn that light on nobody but you and watch what turns in the mirror. And don't turn your flashlight on the mirror, or the light will come back from the mirror and hit you and then reflect. Now stand under this word. In the evening time it shall be light. And that light hits you, and this is that word. What comes back? Christ comes back. His image formed in you from glory to glory. It started back there when the church began to rise from the dead under Luther. Justification, sanctification, gifts. Get out of Pentecost and anything to do with it. Get into the light tonight. Stand with one thing. I look in the eye. Don't worry. Look in the eye. I'm not preaching stupid up here. I'm preaching what I know. That makes God and the prophet, the children, one. Making it all of Christ. Making the end time prayer of Gethsemane come to pass. That makes in this our day the completed circle. Simply waiting now for the manifestation, the first fruits, because manifested sons has its fullness in the resurrection. Light has risen in the western sky. Look at verse 18 again. We all with open face, unveiled. We're not veiled by creeds and dogmas. Oh, brother, sister, let me tell you, when that prophet came on the scene and said, "I challenge you, bring me 24 of your word cases," every creed and dogma fell when he went to India there. And he said, "All right, this man's been blind to look into the sun. He's a sun god worshiper." Now he said, "You ask your God to heal him. You ask your God to heal him." Why, he said they were the strangest, quietest bunch you ever heard before. They chattered like a bunch of chipmunks. Chatter, 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 like before the great eagle. Because the eagle had seen a vision. Now he said, "If I pray to my God in the name of Jesus and this man get healed, what happens?" And he was. I'm going to tell you, at that minute, every creed and dogma and religion, mythological otherwise, was swept to one side. And when William Branham came here in the resurrection ministry of Jesus Christ, Christ doing through him his flesh. And let me tell you something. Let's get this flat. God is in the prophets. And since our bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost, then William Branham was God's flesh, whether you want it or not. But that didn't make him Jesus Christ. It meant that God said, "I want you, William Branham. You're my flesh." That did not make him the blood of God. It made him borrowed flesh, but God's own flesh sits on the throne tonight. It's waiting to come back. We undersell William Branham too many times because we want to steer too far away. Fat. That's what's wrong with Canada. You got it up there. Where one guy can't get out of his shell though he breathes this message and tries to preach it. But he's so screwed up in his thinking. Oh, don't make William Branham God. What? He's not even as God, isn't he? Isn't he as God? Then you tell me what is. Tap on that crudded up theology. If Moses wasn't God to the Beatles, tell me who was. They couldn't even get to the God they talked about. And when they saw the light reflected on the face of the prophet, they ran. They couldn't stand still for the light to begin moving back and forth. And the symphonic power of Almighty God. Ooh, brother, sister, I'm waiting for that day. If I don't make it, who cares? No problem. I'll get it anyway. He told me I got no problem. Now listen, verse 18 is the last look at the 20th century. For the first time in 2,000 years, the creeds, the veils of creeds and dogmas have been ripped asunder. Blind eyes and Laodicea have been anointed. The light struck and we went to the Word and are now in the process of immortality. As we are born the image of the earthy, we are in process they you stink. You wait till I haven't had a bath for a few months, or you smell some good odors. Come catch me sometime just who I am. What do you got to offer? Now, Brother Dale, if we saw this and that and the other thing, start naming it. Go ahead, come on. You're sitting here. I'm up here. I'm taking a challenge tonight. Bring another blackboard. Let's name down what you're looking for. And I'll show you. It's been in every age. And they didn't get it. You understand what I'm saying? Brother Branham had the power of life and death. I saw him go ashen white. Back and forth like this on his eyes. I can't even do it. Swaying back and forth. Suddenly shook himself and he said, I give you your life. Second Corinthians 2 made public. Do you hear what I'm telling you, Christian friend, tonight? You'll not be looking in my eyes too much longer. I'm tired of playing games. Let me tell you now, we are in process. If you don't believe it, that's your business. That's your business. If you choose to have faith in yourself, that's your business. I don't have any faith in Leevale. I don't have any faith in you either. You have nothing to tell me. You have nothing to give me. I've got nothing to tell you. I've got nothing to give you. It's been told. It's been given. Paul said, I'm that great general. Alpha's Omega. Another great general comes by. And he said, I'm the savior of life unto life and death unto death. He said, I am with his word. People don't like that. Well, he's only a man. Right. Take it back to Moses. Said, Mary, I died for him. Cruddy little jerk. God's man. They said about Jesus, whose son is he anyway? Some kind of a bum for all we know. Who's William Branham? I hope you're beginning to see what the prophet preached. If you've never seen it before, you say, why? Because I see it as I've never seen it before. Little phraseology that didn't mean much means everything to me today. Blind eyes and Laodicea have been anointed. The light struck and we went to the word in the process now of immortality. As we have borne the image of the earthy, that's truth. The image of the earthy. And Eve was taken from man. After all other in the kingdom of God had been formed, and he formed her so that she might fall. Because it was not complimentary to God that a son should fall. God said to Adam, you're going to leave me because of her. Because of sex. And sex opened the door to every sin. And everybody is born in sin. You've got the image, but let me tell you, something is happening. While this old image, for us who are getting older, going down into death, there is a new image that is being formed. And if I live here,
And I have no reason to believe at this point that I will die, though I'd like to get out of here. Because I'm not that too happy with life. Never have been that happy, so I think it's a great, wonderful thing, but it is real. Let me tell you something. Something is going on. We are in the process of the image of the heavenly. It is not tomorrow. See, I know you're thinking I'm wrong. Because you say, Brother Dale, the resurrection tomorrow. I am not interested in the resurrection. What God does to bring them out of the grave, He does in the bride, because it is the bride that brings about the resurrection. Not that she will call them out of the grave. Don't mistake me there. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about self, message, living. The vindicated prophet, the identified light, the Logos, striking through vindication, the people catching their eye, and that swirling light begins to strike, hitting men and women, and they stand there before a mirror and they look. They look just the same as Abraham did that time. Perhaps it was night when he went to bed. And the last look he had at his wife, she was old and wizened, and she looked at him and he was old and wizened. But next morning, they were back to the dew of their youth when they were first married, perhaps 19 and 16. Nobody saw the change, but it was going on. The very minute that great one had said, "This is that year," and something began to happen. Let me tell you something, brother, sister, something is going on. The creation of that heavenly image, it is not tomorrow, it is now. I want to read to you. I have a habit of taking a lot of time. I try to take a little time, but it doesn't work, so let's take a lot of time and see if that works. The unveiling of the mighty God. So now in this age when the old denomination and traditional veil has been rent from the Word of God so it can be manifested. See what I mean? The tradition says all those things are past. Let us focus a bit. The things are past, but in this last day that traditional veil has been rent apart, and here stands the pillar of fire. Here he is manifesting the Word for this day. The veil is rent. Now the world still don't believe it. No matter what, they don't see it. They don't see it. It wasn't sent to them. Now people are going to stay and say, "Now that's not grace, that's not love, that's not nice." Shut up! Or don't ever quote Paladin. I'm a savor of death unto death and of life unto life. Remember, the Son of God was not revealed to Sodom. Two messengers were, that's right. But this God Himself in human flesh was revealed to Abraham the elected, and watch what He'd done to reveal Himself. And now Abraham knew, when he knew what was in Sarah's thought behind him, called him Elohim, thy servant. Just jumping around here. The old saying, the days of miracles is past, walls tore down, Jehovah stands in full view manifesting His Word, unveiled one, that's right. Notice the Gentile church. Let me tell you something. Supposing God stood before a mirror. What light would be hitting him to hit the mirror to bring him back? His own light. You understand now? If his light hits you, what's going to come back? Don't try to don't try to get worked up. Don't try to figure things. Don't try to say, "Oh, we're going to have a better church here by doing so and so." Elect your board tomorrow. Who gives a rip? I don't care. Put up the seats and put in plush pews. Get a new piano or try some other thing. Ain't gonna work, kiddo. Set things in order until everybody tippy toes, this, that, this, that. Go ahead! How'd you get here? I ask you, how did you get here? Did you breed yourself into existence? Where's that image come from? How you been getting? I'm tired, I'm nervous. It's over. You're here tonight, you're getting the brunt. I would to God they were all here. I'm cleaning my skirts for the last time. You understand what I'm saying? I don't need anybody to explain this. I'm looking at you tonight, all of you. I'm looking you all in the eye. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? If you aren't, if you don't, ask me a question. Because it's over. I don't look for Brother Branham to come back and open the seventh seal. I don't say he couldn't. But he said they were open. Notice the Gentile church has also been blinded from the veil. After it's been tore off and showed God the ecclesiastical veil, how? By veiling the word in human being again. Who is this Moses? Who is this Jesus? Who is this William Branham? Do you know that the Pentecostal UPC in Minneapolis, American Bible Institute, has a special class to defame William Branham? I may tangle with one person pretty soon down there in Cincinnati. I'll feel sorry for him if I do. He's never met him. He's never heard him. What does he know? What does he know? Do you know the kind of men that traveled, Brother Branham? One is an internationally known pervert, a homosexual. Another famous charismatic man had all the women on his own wife, had him traced by detectives, and Brother Branham one night said in Canada, "Shame on you, sleeping with that blonde last night." And he said, "Branham, I'll have you mind your own business. I'll do what I want." And listen to garbage things like that about a man of God? Yes, he was only a man. Yeah. He was only a man. I'm glad God became a man. It may shock your little puritanical sensibilities if I told you why I admired Brother Branham so much. I've told you already, but never told you the details. Because he was a man. He was human. He wasn't incy-fincy-nicy-nicy. But he was nice. He opened car doors for ladies. He helped his wife. He helped everybody. He loved everybody. God's word in a human being. Oh, they hate that. But if you're born again, what's in you? That's exactly what Israel failed to see. If it would have been some angel or something, Israel might have believed it. But being, it could not be an angel. It had to be a man. Amen. God can't break his word. In the last days, it has to be the same thing again, see? What kind of Israel, that man? Well, you're a man making yourself God. What do you think of Paul? "I'm the savior of life and death unto death." And William Branham, I saw him stood there and said, "I have the power of life and death." Don't tell me he couldn't have used it, honey child. You don't know him like I know. Don't tell me I was too close to him. I don't need to see squirrels created. You just tell me how you can wrap yourself twice around the cord like this and me watching you, and that cord suddenly is no longer wrapped around, and you tell me how it's done. I don't need to see squirrels. What do I need to see squirrels created for? I saw something just as great. I saw greater things, too. That's the what they killed him for. And today, because the message came through man and not angel, see, God can't change his way, change his word. He said he changed not. See, notice, Thomas and the Gentiles are just as blinded today as Israel was. Because what? The veil. God veiled in a human being. Blinded Israel, notice, has ever blinded one. Has always blinded one, that's what he's trying to say. One, it will blind. The other, it will reveal the truth. It will close the eyes of some and open the eyes of others. We in him. Then, now listen, this is the part I'm going after. We in him, then we being in him, we are still veiled to the religionists and professors of the world. Now let's face it. We are actually veiled ourselves by our thinking when we don't let our thinking go and see this. You follow what I said? See our glory that we have in enjoying. We are still veiled to them outsiders. They think you're crazy and nuts. See, that's right. But we are in him in Christ, baptized into him. Into him. We are partakers of his glory. See, but not on the outside. They're still looking in, denying it. So now we are invited into him to be partakers of all that he is. We're invited into him, which is hid to unbelievers by the veil of human flesh. And that's what gets us, and that's what bugs us. See? In other words, he's telling us, I don't care how deep they look at you, they simply will never see thee, Christ. We can't approximate. And if we try to, we're going to muff it. Because I want to ask you a question. If you were back in that day, how would you feel if he walked into your temple and threw your nice guys out and beat them with a rope, a whip made out of rope, and boy, did that sting. You just get yourself blistered with those little tiny bits of hemp in there, and you'll know what a real blister is. And don't tell me they were a bunch of scallywags and robbers and thieves. They weren't cheating the people. It is said in the Word of God, if you live too far to bring your sacrifice, you sell it and buy another one. You make the proper money change. And that's what they were doing, God, a service without his will. Because here was the Son ready to die upon the cross and take all these things away. And they said, this is the gate to heaven. How would you feel if someone came and ripped up the pews and did all those things? Unless you had a spiritual insight from somebody up on high or somebody somewhere, you'd just take a club and you'd go after him and say, hey, you can use the whip, we can use the whip, and Jesus used the whip, and he used the whip on him. I couldn't take it. No way. So what are you looking for? And let me get it down to nitty-gritty. I'll tell you what we're looking for. We're looking for the word of promise for this hour, and it's in Christ. Amen. That's what you're looking for. It's what God said. Okay, now let's keep reading here. They know that glory. They read of it. It's in the word here of the glory of God and things like that. It's just a word to them. Now watch. To us, it's a manifestation. See? It's no more word. It's a reality. Amen. Now, that's what I'm trying to get across to you. But I didn't want to say it. I wanted him to say it. Because you'll take it from William Branham when you can't take it from Meat Pratt. Now, listen. God said, let there be light. That was the word. But now there is light. It ain't the word. It's the light. See what I mean? Now, it isn't just written word to us. It's reality. You hear what I'm saying? We're here. We've arrived. I don't care how you feel. Doesn't matter how I feel. That has nothing to do with it. Well, look, did God phone you up back in 1933? July the 10th. And said, tomorrow at 3 o'clock when the 17th person being baptized, Reverend Branham, I'm going to come down. He did it? Well, golly, I can't figure God out for not being so nice to you guys. Because he should have. I want to ask you a question. Did he ever call you up and let you know anything? Did he ever ask your advice? He hasn't asked me either, so don't feel bad. Many times I ask him, he won't even talk to me. That's my fault, that's not his. He said, nobody knows that day or hour. The Lord descended with a shout. Not said to be his voice, but the voice of somebody else. And Sister Amelia, as I told you last year, told me. I said, Sister Needy, did you see that? She said, no, I didn't. I always did what he told me to do, and I bowed my head. But she said when it was over, I said, Bill, you know, that was your voice I heard. Who said, as John the Baptist forerun the first coming, so you shall forerun, your message shall forerun? Use William Branham's voice, but in the first person. God speaking. Or was it a voice from heaven? Imitating perfectly the prophet's voice. You know, God can imitate anything. He could imitate, if he wanted to, a snowflake falling, even on a bonfire. He doesn't imitate it, he simply does it. What is God's voice to the people was William Branham's. It certainly was, and it still is. Reality. See, this is what I believe. In my own feeble way, in my banality, vulgarity, messed up humanity. It's not a written word anymore. It's real. Once it was the word, it's not the word anymore. Look. Doctor, give me a piece of paper. And he said, take this to the druggist. I give it to the druggist. He gives me medicine. Not word anymore. It's reality. Every mystery runs out. Word runs out. But every word in the beginning in God must have an ending in God as God manifested, because I'm Alpha and Omega. I said it here, I do it there. Reality. Reality. Now it is just a written word to us. Now it isn't just a written word to us, it's reality. We are in Him. Now we are enjoying Him. Now we behold Him. Now we see Him, the Word, manifesting Himself. It's hid out there. Why? It's veiled in human flesh. It's still veiled. We're inside of Christ now, as then all true believers see Him. The word of promise of this, the opening manifested. But listen, how do you see Him? Because the light struck you. Brother, sister, let me ask you a question. When all Israel at Jerusalem saw Jesus on the great day of the feast, what good did it do them? 12 only, perhaps. And one of those was a devil. Look, what do you really want to see? Little kid says, I want to go to the circus and see the elephant. Now, if that kid's got any spedunkum at all, he doesn't want to just see an elephant. He wants to see himself riding the elephant. I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. I don't want to see Jesus just to be seeing Him. I want to see Him because I'm a part of Him, or I don't want to see Him. That's what we're talking about tonight. You know, He can be seen, and He is seen. He's seen through manifestation, proving He's there. And He's seen by revelation in the Word as the Spirit reveals it. We're inside. Now as then all true believers see Him. The word of promise of this day. See, they missed it then. The world doesn't see it. What is the word of promise in this day? For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The gates of hell against the revelation. Now listen, that's what I'm going through, and you'll be going through it. And I'm bucking it. I admit it, I'm bucking. I get anxious, and I am anxious. I'm getting angry, and I'm angry. I'll be honest, I'm not kidding you any. If I thought I went through a hell a year ago, I'm going through double hell right now. I'm just simply telling you. So don't step on my tail, please. I warn you before God, I'm not kidding. Because it'll happen up one side and down the other, because you're looking at an evil. And He ain't nothing but nothing. He's come to the place where He's ready to explode all over the place.
So don't try anything. I'm not going to try anything on you either, by the grace of God. I'm trying hard to keep myself down.
I've only got one hope, that's looking at the word of promise.
He's here.
And if anybody's going to do anything, he's going to do it.
For it's not going to be done.
It's openly manifested.
Brother Branham said Moses' message wouldn't do when Jesus came any more than Noah's message would do when Moses came. Remember a few Sundays ago I took you back and showed you there was a message that Paul preached, Christ and Him crucified? That's over. Risen amongst us to raise the dead. Oh yeah, that's a big difference, brother. So if you want to go back, that's fine. See, I'm not arguing here. I'm preaching in desperation that you're going to catch what I'm saying. Even if it's just mechanical, because the mechanics have got to come before the dynamics. Prove it. You bet I'll prove it. Let there be light. That's mechanics.
Light came, that was dynamics. Hold. I'm getting charged up now. Glad he came to preach. Wasn't done. I'm glad he came. Worth $1 million just to feel something stirring within. The light that fell off of Moses' face, but they said, put a veil on your face. Man can't take it. Put a veil on. Listen, legalist. Put a veil on.
No, don't you dare come around here with that nonsense. Bring to the cross before the wrath of God hits you.
Now then, all true believers see Him, the word of promise of this day openly manifested. That's a big word, if you can get it. What's open? What's William Branham got? What different from Downey? What's this, what that? Oh, it's very simple, honey. He had thus saith the Lord.
Oh, well, brother, I'm sure many Pentecostals have it. Well, I'm sure no Pentecostal has it.
God's not a fool, and I'm not a fool, and you're not a fool. When he said that prophet comes in the name of the Lord, the thing comes to pass, you hear him. And if everybody on a street corner can preach a street corner message and have thus saith the Lord from a chintzy, short-skirted, bobbed-haired, fluffy woman preacher, then God's so goofed up. Don't bug me if I'm goofed up.
Suffer not a woman to preach. A woman gets a vision of Christ, she goes preaching.
I know. My wife's got a cousin in Norway. You know, the word for fruit in Norwegian is fruit. So we had an interpreter that day. Well, he talked about fruit. So I talked about prophet. Got back at him. Because he followed a woman preacher. Apostolic faith built on a woman preacher. True believers, in that word, see God openly. The veil's rent, God stands openly before you manifest to see God manifest openly. In order to do this, our old denomination, traditional veil must be rent again. You say, Brother Vail, you preach tough, but I got to admit you're right, but I'm having trouble. Just keep ripping at the old veil, honey. What do you think I'm doing? You don't think for 1 minute that I'm completely out of danger interpreting what the prophet said in the light of what I used to know? Oh, would to God I'd been some goofed up Roman Catholic with no knowledge of anything, Greek Orthodox, or a heathen out in the sticks, rather than come to this message. Interpreting everything in the light of my present knowledge. That's all anybody can do.
Unless God gets a hold of you.
It's hard. You've got to keep picking away. Just keep hammering. There's a flaming sword, my brother, sister, at our disposal tonight in the prophetic message. To keep ripping at that old veil, to keep ripping at it. Grace will stand, but neither eternal security nor legalism will stand. No way. The veil's rent and God stands openly before you manifested. Now he said so. Was that man using a figure of speech? No. No, sir. No, sir. We said, now we behold him, we behold him. In order to do this, our denomination traditional veil must be rent again. In order to really see what it is, you've got to come out from among that stuff, see? You'll never do it. They'll keep pulling that veil before you every time. Oh, there's nothing to that. But here it is written and here it is made manifest. In other words, he's telling you flat, God backed him up. You show me where God backed these other people up. He doesn't back me up. I don't need backing up. Great Caesar's ghost. Why do I need backing up? If I preach what he preached and that was backed up, that's enough. If you prove the theorem, you don't have to write it in your test. I'm going to prove the theorem so I can prove this question. You say theorem number 9 proves this, and you go on. What's that got to do with this? Everything. It's a proven thing. The prophet said it. Now what if a fellow refuses to see the sun and says, oh, there, I know God said let there be light, but there's no such thing. I'm going to the basement. I refuse to see it. The guy's crazy. There's something wrong with him. There's something wrong with a man or woman can see the promise of God, see it manifested, and then refuse to believe it because the denomination pulls the veil down. And you say, how can they be that stupid? And let me tell you something. What's this buddy, this friend of mine? I don't remember his name anymore. Very handsome man in Corpus Christi. Very lovely, lovely person. Very lovely person. He will categorically tell you he's never seen a miracle. His own wife with TB one Sunday morning reached out when Oral Roberts prayed, touched the TB, and she didn't have tuberculosis from that time on, and he said he's never seen a miracle. How do you figure? Now look, I'm holding a book up. Would you like to all say tonight, when I put it away, say, well, I never saw that book? Well, you say, Brother Bale, that's crazy. That's what the prophet is saying. They've got to be crazy. Insanity has already struck. And if insanity has struck, so has glory struck. So has sanity struck. If death has struck, so has life struck. Man, listen, you can't bind those tares for the burning. And not see the wheat gathered in the garner. It's impossible, brother, sister. It's impossible. See, a guy's crazy. There's something wrong. There's something wrong with the man or woman can see the promise of God, see it manifest and refuse to believe it. It's because the denominational domination pulls the veil down. In order to do this, our denominational traditional veils must be broke by God's spirit of fire and sword, which is his word. Always his word is his sword. See, he took his sword that day full of fire, ripped that veil from top to bottom, does the same thing with the same sword today. Not my creed, not my book of creeds, my catechism. He's not that. See, but the sword of the Lord, he rips the veil down and you see God standing in plain view manifested in his word. But you're looking into it. Oh, brother. Wouldn't I love to write a check for $100 and see that check come back $1 million? Well, sure. I'm not stupid. Surely I'd like that. I wouldn't say I'd spend it on myself. I don't know what I'd do. I really don't want it. No, to be truthful with you. But I speak in terms of illustration. But said in the light of what I used to know, oh, would to God I'd been some goofed up Roman Catholic with no knowledge of anything, Greek Orthodox, or a heathen out in the sticks, rather than come to this message. Interpreting everything in the light of my present knowledge. That's all anybody can do. Unless God gets a hold of you. It's hard. You've got to keep picking away. Just keep hammering. There's a flaming sword, my brother, sister, at our disposal tonight in the prophetic message. To keep ripping at that old veil, to keep ripping at it. Grace will stand, but neither eternal security nor legalism will stand. No way. The veil's rent and God stands openly before you manifested. Now he said so. Was that man using a figure of speech? No. No, sir. No, sir. We said, now we behold him, we behold him. In order to do this, our denomination traditional veil must be rent again. In order to really see what it is, you've got to come out from among that stuff, see? You'll never do it. They'll keep pulling that veil before you every time. Oh, there's nothing to that. But here it is written and here it is made manifest. In other words, he's telling you flat, God backed him up. You show me where God backed these other people up. He doesn't back me up. I don't need backing up. Great Caesar's ghost. Why do I need backing up? If I preach what he preached and that was backed up, that's enough. If you proved a theorem, you don't have to write in your test, well, I'm going to prove the theorem so I can prove this question. You say theorem number 9 proves this, and you go on. What's that got to do with this? Everything. The proven thing. The prophet said it. Now what if a fellow refuses to see the sun and say, oh, there, I know God said let there be light, but there's no such thing. I'm going to the basement. I refuse to see it. The guy's crazy. There's something wrong with him. There's something wrong with a man or woman can see the promise of God, see it manifested, and then refuse to believe it because the denomination pulls the veil down. And you say, how can they be that stupid? And let me tell you something. What's this buddy, this friend of mine? I don't remember his name anymore. Very handsome man in Corpus Christi. Very lovely, lovely person. Very lovely person. He will categorically tell you he's never seen a miracle. His own wife with TB one Sunday morning reached out when Oral Roberts prayed, touched the TB, and she didn't have tuberculosis from that time on, and he said he's never seen a miracle. How do you figure it? Now look, I'm holding a book up. Would you like to all say tonight, when I put it away, say, well, I never saw that book? Well, you say, Brother Bale, that's crazy. That's what the prophet is saying. They've got to be crazy. Insanity has already struck. Then if insanity has struck, so has glory struck. So has sanity struck. If death has struck, so has life struck. Man, listen, you can't bind those tares for the burning and not see the wheat gathered in the garner. It's impossible, brother, sister. It's impossible. The guy's crazy. Something wrong. There's something wrong with a man or woman can see the promise of God, see it manifest, and refuse to believe it. It's because the denomination pulls the veil down. In order to do this, our denominational traditional veils must be broke by God's spirit of fire and sword, which is his word. Always his word is his sword. See, he took his sword that day full of fire, ripped that veil from top to bottom, does the same thing with the same sword today. Not my creed, not my book of creeds, my catechism. He's not that. See, but the sword of the Lord, she rips the veil down, and you see God standing in plain view manifested in his word. But you're looking into it. Oh, brother. Wouldn't I love to write a check for $100 and see that check come back $1 million? Well, sure. I'm not stupid. Surely I'd like that. I wouldn't say I'd spend it on myself. I don't know what I'd do. I really don't want it. No, to be truthful to you. But I speak in terms of illustration. See? We are a part of him. We are that living word made manifest. Where else is it living? Down amongst the hopheads in Hoboken? The Hottentots of Africa? The scurvy atheists of this world? Right. How could a man possibly talk about himself being a part of bride and not see this? Remember, it's got nothing to do with you as though you produced it. Now, but the sword of the Lord ripped down. You see God standing in plain view, manifest his word. What a glorious view to look at. See, all right, God's Holy Spirit and fire. His sword rips it. The word rips the denominational veil. What if you just said the word, and don't work? What good would the sword be? Say, I can't. It can't rip. It won't rip. But when you lay that sword of God up there and watch her rip, she's held by an ordained hand sent to do so. See, rips it open, and there he is. There, it shows God plainly in view, the great Jehovah. Then if he's in plain view, let's get this, he's here. Amen. And if he's here and can stand us. Now see, everybody comes out of legal background in this whole church. I don't know about Brother Evans. Were you Baptist? Well, my God, your legalism, but I mean, your term of security is likely cruddy anyway. It wasn't worth a blood nickel. So really, you're some kind of a stupid legalist when it comes right down to some kind of bad thing there. But you see, listen, brother, sister, this is the thing that people simply can't understand. The presence of God, and in that presence is human filth. Let me get this flat. That is not true. I do not go for what they call the complete depravity of man. Because then God would take pigs and make them sheep, and dogs make them sheep. They are sheep that have gone astray. And he came to redeem his own. But let me tell you, those redeemed, those unredeemed sheep are separated from God. And they got to get back to God. And a blood sacrifice lays there. And God could come down in the camp of Israel. And he could stand there and he could watch them. And Balak say, Balaam, come on down and curse him. And he did his best, but only blessing came out. Balak said, go on down and see their dirty parts. Go on around the backyard. We got a problem in our house. The front door is always locked. The back door is always open. You catch us all the time, I tell you. So go on down to the back door. That's where you catch us, the back door. So he went down to the backyard, the back door, and he said, I can see enough going on down there. Balaam, he said, you can curse him 1,000 times. Balaam said, I think I agree with you. Got up there to curse him. Nothing came up but blessing. God stood with Sarah and with Abraham, and Sarah died in the teeth of Almighty God. You say she got away with it. That's right, she did. Except God let Abraham go down the road and make her tell another lie. Don't fool with God. But look, it's grace. How can God be here today amongst us? If you don't believe that, you don't believe this message. And you won't have any trouble because the gates of hell will not be against you. My brother, my sister, if you don't understand what the prophet said, be of good cheer. Nobody's going to bug you. You got it made. Where are the gates of hell? He said, where? Where is it against? And he said, what's it against? It's not the revelation that he is the Son of God. Even a Turk might be convinced that he was. And he's a Muhammad of some description. They're not against that. They're against the revelation that he's here. And I can understand why. Denominates Bill. My catechism. What if you said the word? It won't written. No, down here. That's his word made manifest. The portion. Now listen, God manifests in full view. There it shows God plainly in view, great Jehovah. That is his word made manifest. The portion that's promised today. Do you get it? See? Now, many people think Brother Branham was supposed to take the book of Genesis and go all the way to the book of Revelation and make a complete compendium. He wasn't. It was the word for this hour. See? That's what it was. Now, when the sword promised of today, in this day, what's supposed to be, and God takes his sword and rips down denomination veil and pulls it back, manifests itself and shows that he's here, still that same pillar of fire. Notice, that is the word made manifest for today's promise. Okay? And when you see the word made manifest, you see the Father, God. Because the word is the Father and the word is God. And the word made manifest is God himself taking his own word and manifesting among believers. Nothing can make it live but believers, just believers. Now let's go back and read again. So now we're invited into him to be partakers of all that he is. We're invited into him, which is hid to unbelievers by the veil of human flesh. See, they know that glory. They read of it. It's in the word here of the glory of God and things like that. It's just a word of them to us. It's appeared before us. And that word manifest means absolutely prove what it is in its own genuine character so that you know what it is and there's no mistake. It's no more word. It's reality. All right, listen. Brother Branham started preaching a message which in its effect in the bride would bring the dead out of the ground because they'd be ready to come up. Which would produce an immortality. Now the point is this. That word was preached. And since it was manifested that it was that word of this hour, It is no more a word preached. It is a reality, that word now, in a bride, is changing her to the last glory, which will be humanity living and not dying in the image of Christ. It's going on now. See? It's no more a word. It's a reality. So, well, Brother Dale, I don't see it that way. You see, I'm waiting for that day. I'm not waiting for that day. Why wait for what's already here? Bible said you with patience wait for it. If you don't see it. But the minute you see it, who needs it? That's why I'm so excited. The long, long night is past. The morning's broke at last. Hush the dreadful wail and fury of the blast. From o'er the distant hill, our life's approaching fast. Immortality. The Holy Ghost is come. I did a little bit of license with that beautiful chorus. The Comforter is come. He's here. Amen. And that's it. That's what it's all about. Shadows are given away to substance. In the day of the voice of the seventh messenger, every mystery is perfected, for that which is perfect has come. It is the hour of 1 Corinthians 15:51. It is now that immortality is running apace. Now bear me out. Time is running out. Can there possibly be time beyond 1986? 40 years after Israel became a nation. It's 1946. The latter rain fell in 1906. I don't know, but we're getting awful close. I know with you, me, all of us long to get out of this sin-cursed, pestilential world. But if we don't, it's going to be better than ever. But remember, it's no longer He is coming, but He is here. The change is in process. The seventh seal is opened. The light has struck, and its reverberating, pulsating rays have formed the perfect circle of the Logos and the Prophet and the Bride and the Son. I'm talking of the Son who is on the throne now as the head of the Bride, humanly speaking, and also by reason of identification with God, because there is nothing that is denied Him. That Bride and all are completely one tonight. Now, I know that seems like a staggering statement that could merely be illustrative or hopeful, but in my books, it is genuine. Nevermore will we be fragmented. There is no organization can follow it. He who said, I am the reality, is risen amongst us with healing in His wings. Yesterday is gone. Do not look back. There is no tomorrow. Do not look ahead. For time has run out. And you know that thus saith what Brother Branham said. But let the light strike you and gaze into the Word. And the promise of this hour will be quickened to you and in you, and you will not taste death but live. That's right. There's a promise for this hour that Jesus Himself made when He was on earth in human flesh. And He could not fulfill it. No way, until He returned back to being Holy Spirit. For He said, He that liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. That could not happen this hour. Now listen carefully, what struck you? The light that God shone on the prophet and reflected from Him to us. But actually and really, what is that light? Let's take a look at that light. Let's take our time. There's nobody too far from a distance here except Bill, and he can stay up till 3 a.m. and still make out. Mary will go to sleep on the way home, not before, so what's the difference? Everybody's happy. Get out of here. All right, at least I pronounced these. The blessing on that one. All right, listen. That which is from the beginning, which we have heard,
which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled the word of life. For the life was manifested. We have seen and bear witness and shown you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Notice there's two people there. One's God. These things write unto you that your joy may be full. This then is a passage, message, which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. How can you be outside that word? I don't care what you produce. You can be kinder than the kind old priest and make Jesus look like some sick upstart going in the temple and beating everybody up. If we walk in the light, see in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us. And that's what Israel had with Moses when he stood there as God before him. Now, he wasn't God. He was God to the people. But God was there. And that light reflecting back. See? Like wheels within wheels. Living fire moving. Like Brother Branham said that Cecil B. DeMille must have been moved by the Holy Ghost to get that pillar of fire just right. Listen, you get that amongst the people. And the reflected light from that prophet going back and forth, back and forth. Oh God, if the people had ever listened to William Branham, had they ever even admitted who he was. My wife and I looked for that. We heard him say it in Florida. If you only believe who I am, you'll be healed. We never could find the tape again. Just the other day I heard him on the tape. How could... Listen, the word of a man doesn't heal. The promise of a man doesn't heal. A man identifying himself doesn't heal. God heals. He was telling me, if you believe I'm that one, the sin. We never caught on because that was back in 1953. My heavens, it took me 9 years later to begin to really realize who he was. I always knew he was somebody. Never thought to find out. Walking in the light. Fellowship, the blood standing. Say, Brother Bill, this church wants real fellowship. Don't you think I know that? I'm preaching my understanding. You do what you want. You really want it? And lie in the presence of the Son. He said, lie. Well, Brother Bill, we're going to run. Hop to it, start running. Just don't run to my door, I'll boot you out. I'll tell you right now. Don't get on my phone, I'll tell you to shut up. See, I'm not kidding. Sorry, boys and girls, but that's the way the cookie crumbles, the ball bounces. In that light. Remember back more than 2 years ago? I told you in a series of messages this church would either change, go back, or go forward, and I started with the vertical to the horizontal. Now, you're not done for and shot. You've had some pretty crusty times. I'm going to tell you something. Your hairy times aren't over yet because you're no dead, my brother, sister. You're still living. You've got the axe to fall. You've got troubles to come. Brother Branham said how to deal with them. Scripture here tells us how. Fellowship. The blood of Jesus Christ cleansing. Nobody digging it up. If we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. Truth's not in it. Deceiver sounds. We confess our sins, and then just give us sin. And so on. I read a little more than I needed to read there because it didn't happen. Now the same one said at the beginning was the Word is with God, the Word was God, same beginning with God, all things made by him, without him, not anything made was made. Now listen, in him it was life, and the life was the light of men. John came to rid us of light. John wasn't that light. The true light was Jesus. He lights every man that comes to the world. He's in the world was made by him, the world didn't know him. And then it said the light became flesh. The life became flesh. The Word became flesh. Word, life, light. He became flesh, then he went back to being a light on Damascus Road.
That light was Christ. Still with me? Okay. Colossians. Hope I'm not boring you to death or getting you all in a place where you can't hear and can't understand. I hope not. Listen. Colossians 3 and 4, when Christ who is our light. You say, Brother Bailey, you changed it. Yes, I did. When Christ who is our light. When Christ who is our light. When Christ who is our word. When Christ who is the Logos shall appear, be made absolutely manifest in his true character, exactly who he is, then we shall also be made manifest in our true character, exactly who we are. For he shall come down, set himself at the head of the church, and raise the dead, and change us. I want to ask you a question. Is he here? Sure he's here. For Brother Branham lied. Well, the camera lied. Everybody's a liar. Then God must lie because he proved he was here. Now, I'm not messed up. We're not messed up. Somebody else is messed up. We're not messed up. He's here. He appears as a light. Well, didn't he? What did the camera catch? The light. Supernatural being, George Lacey said. Absolutely right. He appears as a light, proving who he is, manifesting who he is. Our life is here because the light is here. And that light is our light. And at that time that he is manifested, we are manifested. I think you're getting the picture. I might be getting redundant by now. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 8, But ye were sometimes darkness. Listen, but you were sometimes darkness, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light. Now are you light. Walk as children of light. As children of life, where the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving it is accepted unto the Lord. Now listen. Cain brought something to God that was in God's Word. He brought a first fruit offering. And the Scripture is called an excellent sacrifice. But Abel's was more excellent, and Abel's was according to faith by revelation. He didn't take time to prove anything else. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Cain wouldn't do it. He lost out. All right, the Word is our light. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but reprove them. It's a shame he speak of those things done by them in secret. But all things which are reproved are made manifest by the light. I want to ask you, when did that light come? Came back way back in the days of Moses. It came before then. It came in the time of Abraham. It came before then. It came back in the time of Garden Eden. That light kept coming. That light one day turned to flesh. Then it went back to being a light again. And that light came down. The first church age to Paul set the church in order and set a ministry in there that could have brought about a rapture, but it wasn't time. And the church went downhill. Now that light appears again. You know what that light is here for? To reprove. To cause people to do rethink. It's manifested. And whatever does make manifest is light. Now let me ask you something. Did you see the light? You say, no, I never saw the light. Could you see the light? No way, only a glare. The prophet said you could see a glare, a reflection. Therefore, nobody but the prophet could see the light. Now just a minute. What did you see? Because you had to see something. Because something was made manifest. How was God made manifest to you? The prophet stood and said, thus saith the Lord, and it came to pass. The light struck. Now listen, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light. Didn't say they were dead, it said they're sleeping. Rise amongst the dead. Dead Laodicea. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Why? Because you're light. God is light. You are light. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, but instead be filled with spirit. Sing yourselves, feed yourselves in spiritual psalms and so on. Now listen. Submit yourselves one to another in fear of the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands.
Husband, head of the wife, head, Christ, head of the church, savior of the body. Therefore, the church subject unto Christ, let the wives be subject, husband love your wives, and so on. And then he talks about down here that he might sanctify and cleanse the washing the water by the word. He might present himself, not having spot or wrinkle, might be holy without blemish, so men ought to love their bodies. Now, he's telling you here, listen, once you were dark, you weren't qualified as bride. You weren't recognized as part of that word. You had that little seed in there. And when the light struck, he says here, you became washed by the water of the word, and you became genuine bride. Now, brother, sister, I'm doing my best to cut it down in every way, shape, and form that I can, that you might understand that what is going on is not a myth, is not a dream. If you choose to interpret it that way and hang it out here in the future somewhere, that is your option. I do not believe it. To me, I believe as in 1 John the 3rd chapter, verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it hath not yet been made thoroughly manifest what we shall be. In other words, there hasn't been one resurrected person among us at this point. And one changer. We know that when he shall appear, when absolutely he shall prove who he is and that he is on the scene, that's the hour we're going to be like him, because we see him as he is. Now the scripture says right there that we are beholding him. In this hour of manifestation, this is the witness to our souls. Because we see him, we're being changed. But notice, that light became flesh. In John 1 and 14, they went back to the light, and that light is struck again. Now watch. I want to show you something else here, and I'm going to close, because time has all run out on us. I want to show you this here. Listen carefully. Whatever is held up to a mirror is what is reflected back. That is in the natural. That's the natural. I hold up my hand comes back. Like Brother Banner said, a shadow. There's a light out here in my hand that's here. Get to the wall. Why, he said, you'd never see a big shadow like an elephant turn out to be a little spindly man. No way. Shadow and substance must come together. That's true. But we're talking about a mirror. Hold my hand up, you see a hand. All right. Now, what is reflected back is what that mirror sees. See? A light has struck that hand. That light goes to that mirror. And it throws that thing back into an image. All right. You go to the word now. And you're not seen. And you sit on the platform and you see William Branham come in there in Spokane. And you see a huge, great, big fellow that's broken up every meeting in the country. He's a demoniac. Cops cannot handle him. Nobody can handle him. And as he begins rushing toward the platform, going to tear Brother Branham asunder, spitting and hurling anathemas at him, the cops are running, the preachers are running over benches. And Brother Branham stands there and tells the cops, stay away. The man looks at him in the eye and begins spitting and hissing like a snake. And Brother Branham said, because you challenge the servant of the Most High God, you shall fall across my feet. And the man began weaving like a snake. I talked to people who were there. They said, just like this. And he sunk right across Brother Branham's feet. They had to pull the man off of Brother Branham's feet. Now listen carefully. Light struck. And the Trinitarian sat there. And a voice said, that's the way it's done in the Bible. You can do it too. And he took it to the Word. And the Word came back Trinitarian. With signs and wonders and miracles of the false anointed. Hold up a Trinity, you'll see a Trinity, but it won't make the rapture. For the person held up a glare of a denomination. Had the right voice been there, the voice would have said, hold it. You're a Trinitarian. How come a man that believes in one God comes on the scene and does this? The same man was asked a few years ago by a former partner, and he said, I hear that you are going to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, Dillard, Tommy's dad, you know I don't go for that nonsense. right? Hold up Matthew 28 without a revelation. Can you get back Acts 2, 37 to 39? Oh, sure. But misinterpreted and completely phony. False anointing. Brother Branham said, believe in three gods and claim to be full of the Holy Ghost. Speaking in tongues as evidence of being born again, which is righteousness. Let's find out what the prophet said about that one. Hadn't had it through the age. See that perfect continuity of Scripture. Here we live in it. The mysteries, even baptism in the name of Jesus, Lord Jesus, and away from the oneness idea and these other things, how the Holy Spirit has moved that in and showed it perfectly in the true baptism of the Holy Spirit, the token, everything, placed it, and how He placed every reformer, everything just exactly, see, right before our own eyes. And it's not in a corner. It's world known. Jesus, the Son of God, revealing Himself by the Scripture, making that Scripture that has been predestinated to this day like it was to that day and all other days live. And to believe it is evidence of the Holy Spirit, and He screams out righteousness. Say you're full of the Holy Ghost. And say different from the prophet. Moses, put that veil on your face. Kill him! Away with William Branham, that rotten false prophet. God smeared him across the road. He had it coming. Well, cheer up, our day's coming. What light struck that person who preached error? It must have been the dark light of an evil spirit. What light was that? The original voice that said, have you thought upon this? Did God surely say that there's a tree here you shouldn't eat? Why, she said, certainly. Would you care to talk about it? He said, that's what I'm here for. Cain had an accurate and true sacrifice, but a false revelation. I can quote Matthew 28. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize in the name, false on the Holy Ghost, and have 100% erroneous revelation of it. I can quote Acts 2:37-39 and have 100% erroneous revelation of it. But I'm going to tell you something. You better believe that first church age wasn't fooled by false apostles and false prophets and false teachers. Bible says so. And you better believe the last age isn't either. It must have been a dark light of an evil spirit, as the Bible said, how great is thy darkness when thy light becomes dark. Why, there are even those who claim to be Christ's own. And they make him Beelzebub. Sure. What light struck them to go to the Word and find Satan healing the sick and casting out devils? It's interesting, isn't it? It could go on. But listen, we don't care so much about them because I just wanted to show you how it worked there too, you see. But hold up the spiritually revealed Word tonight and let your light, which is His light, His life, His Spirit, shine on that Word. And flesh will become Word, and Word will become flesh until the glory of the Lord fills the earth. Now, we've been here a long time. And I'm sorry he kept you so late. But tomorrow I go to Cincinnati. From there on, go down to Beaumont, over to Fort Walton Beach. Maybe come home, I don't know. I imagine I'll be back. But I didn't want to be any way any longer, and I've been away, which is quite some time now. Mostly preaching round and about. Well, I want the record absolutely clear tonight, and I've done my best. If I haven't explained it, I'm sorry. If it's over your heads, I'm sorry. I mean it sincerely. Because I don't know what else to say unless. You want the opportunity coming together. And I'm not forcing this on anybody, because I am not really interested. Sitting with everyone around the table, which means you can sit there and I'll come down and stand before you. You can ask any question you want. This church I have preached in more than any other. If anyone should know what I see, which I am convinced I see right, but you might not be convinced I do see right. That is your privilege. But at least this church should know what I believe, so that no one will ever leave here and spread any word that I believe in two gods, because I do not believe for 1 minute that Jesus the flesh is God, because he is not God. For God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is that Melchizedek high priest sitting on that throne now with the full office. And God now is putting all things under his feet. All enemies. So that he can take unto himself this bride, which is not just washed in his blood, but this bride is washed in the water of the word of this hour without spot and without blemish. So that standing in his presence, according to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, 7-8, she is blameless. You can't put a finger on her. God will not receive a charge against her. As Brother Branham said, little bride, you didn't even do it. And there's coming a day when it all falls back on Satan. I'm not talking about scapegoat. That would make Satan the part of redemption. Forget it. I'm talking about when the just deserts after the white throne falls. I'm talking in terms that I believe that he is here. This God that you can call Jehovah, Elohim, the Logos, call him what you want. They're appellations in order to designate his efficiency within his official realms. And what he is doing and why he does it and how he does it. They all lie within there. But that he is here now. And that he is fully responsible for the final work of redemption. That it is his descent. And through the voice of the prophet, a message which literally you're gathering the bride unto him. According to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter and the first verse. that mighty angelic visitation was the hour of the seventh seal, where we come into a rest, which doesn't have one thing to do about how you feel out here. It's the certain knowledge that this is it, and I am a part of it. And I no longer see myself exposed in this word under the law, but under grace I look, and I see the light reflecting him. My very image begins to change. Because I'm not going to stay mortal. I'm going to be immortal. Have I made myself clear? Not that it really matters, but I just want to know. I didn't say to you, do you know that you're a part of it? I have no. I will not ask you that question. That's between you and God. That's nothing I have anything to do with. Preaching on a revelation of faith, I cannot give you faith any more than preaching on salvation can I give you salvation. But I can tell you something, brother, sister. There isn't one person ordained to God who cannot lay out the mechanics. I have preached mechanics tonight from the viewpoint of what the prophet taught, unveiled to us. Not that I like to make God mechanical. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying more or less is the fact of the blueprint. But the manifestation has conclusively proven that God is here doing something. What is he doing? Now the question is this. That's your question to yourself, the same as mine, to me. Knowing the foundation that God stand assured, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them which are His. Can you, and this is a hypothetical, this is rhetorical. I don't need a nod, I don't need an eyebrow raised, I need nothing. But is the question that comes, am I satisfied that I am fully identified? That the light has struck. And in there my image is lost because it is His image. For as I bore in the image of the earthy, I shall bear the image of the heavenly. These words, brother, sister, are not little platitudes. They are not guess so. They are not hope so. They are not maybe so. For as the Scripture says, as in Adam all die, even so in identical manner shall all be made alive in Christ. Not one son lost. And it says, as I, you have borne the image of the earthy, and I bear it, oh God, how I bear it and how I hate it. I shall bear the image of the heavenly. My brother Branham has gone on. He did not leave this earth to become a spirit that floats around in some atmosphere. He went to a body, a spirit body in the heavens that can feel and touch, rejoice and handle, but cannot eat and drink. That's coming later. There is no place tonight where there is not reality. Brother, sister, listen. They've had it through seven church ages. But at the end of this age, He is here to raise the dead and to change us. And I believe it. And I believe I'm a part of it. I believe I'm part of it in spite of myself. And that's putting it just the way I mean it. For I died in Adam. I didn't have a thing to do with it. I was made alive in Christ. I didn't have a thing to do. You say, well, Brother Branham said you put the free moral agency. That's only on the grounds that a little ego can hear the big ego. He had the chance to scream back and flap his wings. He screamed back and flapped his wings, and suddenly he was sailing, borne on the currents of the heavenly. Brother, sister, don't be afraid to scream out your faith in this word tonight. Remember the camel that old Rebecca gave water to was the camel that took her home. Don't fail to feed yourself on this word of faith tonight. If all you can do, look, you wouldn't even have to go beyond this. Brother Branham said you can be this much in and make it that much and never make it. In other words, it's not the depth as though you can quote it all and know it all. Is there something you could pin yourself on tonight and say, look, I can identify with that. I can't take every word here and say I know it all. I can't take everything you said and say I know it all. I don't know it all. But there's certain things in here I take and I identify and I stand. I'm going to tell you something. It's doing the job. I'm not become a paragon of virtues I don't look to be. Because he said it wasn't virtue. That's why I can't understand people preaching virtues as thunders. Because all the virtues I've seen thunder about as loud as a mouse can squeak out in the Sahara Desert 10 miles from everybody. And that's being complimentary. I mean it too. I'm not kidding. It's not character. We've got enough character to kill each other tonight. Beautiful thought. Not character. It's not obedience either. He said it wasn't. That's one quote I know where it is. That's in Communion. I don't know where that quotes are. I just remember them. Okay. It's not getting closer to God. This age is farther from God. But God's closer to us. Huh? Poor little old sheep in the ditch. Can't get out. So I little sheep, if I was you, I'd go get the farmer to get me out. Well, he said, if I'd go get the farmer to get out, I'd be out. Poor little old me in the ditch. Down here in blind Laodicea. All messed up in my thinking. thinking I'm rich, don't need a thing, and my Lord, I'm pitiful, wretched, miserable, in debt up to my eyeballs and don't even know it, credit cards are run out. Oh, yeah. Yeah. What about it? Well, I'm going to come get you. See, that's grace. Well, I'll keep you till midnight. You got foot washing, communion, good time, everything's wonderful. I've done my best to clear my heart, my soul, and my mind. I've got no axe to grind with anybody. I just want you to know where I stand. To me, this is a message of grace. To you, it might be hogwash. I don't know. But I've said it. God bless you. And I can't take it back. Let's rise. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your patience. You've been patient, I know. Maybe even more so than the people, because I might not have said everything the way I should have said it. Might even have said too much in most places and not enough in one or two places. It could have been much better. But I will not apologize, Lord, for what I believe at this moment, because I cannot apologize, Lord, because I believe that it is life. I believe, Lord God, that the power of life and death came in. The same as it came with Moses, the power of life and death, the last plague that struck Egypt, spiritual death, the last plague striking this place, the world, the whole world, not just America, spiritual death. Blind Laodicea, Lord, I know that. But I know, Lord, there never was a time that life wasn't there also. And there is life here at this moment. And I believe it's been manifested in this hour, Lord, and I'm depending on life. Father God, I know that because I believe this so many times, it's easy to take it as though it was an axe to grind, and I apologize for that. I don't mean it to be an axe to grind either with you or for myself or with the people, either here or out in the world or any place else. I apologize for those expressions and feelings and things which come forth which would make it that, because it isn't that at all. It's the sword of God. In the hand of him who is life and light, and we are part of that. And if anything should be humbling and softening, anything should be melting, bringing us down into the love, good graces, it should be that. So, Lord God, we just pray that you forgive us, and which you do anyway. You don't hold a thing against us. But you've given us wisdom by insight to know when we could do better. And Lord, grant a measure of strength to do much, much, much better than we ever done before, Lord. Not that we want to shine in any way, that's not it. But that we might please you, that's the thing, Lord. Any way, shape, or form we could say, do that which would please you, that's the thing we want. And then it doesn't matter. It sure doesn't matter anybody else, because